Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today. I've got a brand new friend with me today, artist Marianne Schmidt. And Marianne, I'm so glad that you are with me today to tell your story.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be here. Great to meet you. Hello.
Absolutely. I've gotten the great pleasure of getting to know you a little bit on Facebook and kind of reading some articles, seeing some videos about this incredible journey that you've had of really stepping into art, really after kind of a unique way of getting to it. You know, we all have this kind of unique way of getting into what God's got for us. But tell us a little bit, you know, you're an artist now, but that was not always your story. So how did you be and do what you're doing now as an artist?
Oh, that's a pretty powerful question. No, my background was in the corporate world as an adult. And so I had a very high stress, fierce focus kind of job where I flew all over the world. And so
anything creative about that, or was that just a,
the funny thing was I worked with a lot of creatives because I was a global account representative, and I managed for the company I worked for, which was Steelcase. They're two of their biggest customers worldwide, GE and IBM.
Wow.
And so GE, brokered $20 million worth of office furniture purchased every year. And my company would do like a case study of what happened there at that location. And they would bring their creative team out to do a whole case study about it. And man, those creatives were so hard to work with. The lighting had to be just right in the setting and and they were giving these CEOs all these orders about the way they had to behave for their video. And I thought, who do these people think they are?
Exactly.
And so I was like impatient with these creatives. And then suddenly here I'm that creative now who's got all those picky, you know, things about the way it's got to just be. And so it's funny the way, you know, when you're frustrated with one thing and maybe you have three fingers pointing back at yourself and you're pointing at these other fingers, suddenly then God turns the tables and you're one of them.
That's right. That's right. Now, did you grow up as a kid? Were you creative, or was art a part of your life, or was this totally out of the blue for you?
Well, I grew up, with a very blessed childhood, and then my mother was super creative. She made jewelry. And so she, you know, was looking for a hobby when we were really young, and she started taking lessons on how to make silver jewelry. And then that grew into 60 years or 70 years. And now she turns 90 next week, and we're all flying together. She is still doing silver jewelry she is now in Wheaton, Illinois. She lives in Wheaton, Illinois. And we're all, 90 of us are driving out there to be with her. But we grew up, I'd fall asleep at night to the pounding of her hammer in her workshop right below my bedroom.
Wow.
And that was the set. And she would sometimes, the sun would come up because there were no windows there. She didn't even know what time it was. She was just lost in the zone of creating. And so we grew up with that sort of fire in us, but we never had time. We were, you know, always on the way to do something or go someplace or ride horses or go to Girl Scouts or 4-H or something. And so it was definitely not ever. In fact, I was frustrated that I couldn't draw. No, that was not anything that I could do. But I was exposed to a lot of creative things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you got on the corporate path, did that for a while, and then something big changed in your life. Kind of talk through a little bit of that, because when people hear the word brain injury and all that, that seems like a, oh my gosh, everything is over. But, and maybe you went through that too, but for you, it really opened a lot of doors.
Yes, sir. So as I was in the corporate world for 40 years, my body began to deteriorate. And I started having pain in my arms and legs and didn't really understand why. And it was kind of fierce and getting worse by the minute. And so I ended up, pain management became a big part of my life, and we didn't feel like narcotics were a long-term solution to anything. So I was put on medication that was a really an anti-seizure medication to help with neurological pain. And for a long time it did do that, but it was never approved for that use. And today it's even being used for that use and it's not approved for it. Mm. And one particular year, I had so many surgeries, Matt, I had 22 orthopedic surgeries.
My goodness.
And one, and I have metal in six places in my body. So that year the dose got quadrupled and I knew something was terribly wrong. So, but before I could stop it, I was in a whole different reality. I was doing what I was told, even though I was questioning it. They were telling me, no, this is okay. And they were right. The doctors. I wasn't, and I was right. In pain. So I was trusting them. And before I knew it, I was in a whole different reality and couldn't take care of myself or anything. I couldn't even take a shower. Couldn't remember how to work the controls. That's how bad it was. But I was shut down. I was absolutely still. And the filters in my brain, what had happened is the filters in my brain were just shut down by this medication. And I began to hear God's voice like I never did before. Mm. And also, I began to see and experience things that were caused by this change within the chemistry of my brain that were very surprising. I began to see colors exploding behind my eyes and I didn't understand, well, what was that? And then I sensed that God wanted me to pick up a pencil and begin to draw one day and to draw an umbrella because that was like a symbol of his protection over me. An umbrella protects us from the rain. And so I did that morning. And as I picked up my pencil and for the very first time drew, what came out of my fingers was hyperrealism.
Wow.
I could not tell the photo from the reference I was using. And in that moment, I was so shocked because I had failed drawing. And I mean, that was not something I could ever do.
Right.
And what I have come to learn since is that without the filters in your brain, you're seeing not just the thing that you're trying to create, you're seeing every little shape and nuance and shadow in that thing. You notice it that much more. And so I was seeing all those little nuances because your filters sort of keep that information out. And you're just looking at the thing overall so that you won't become overwhelmed by the parts that make up the thing. So suddenly I was drawing all the little shapes that made up the thing. And then all of a sudden, put together, it made the whole and it jumped off the page. And that was
as surprised as anybody, I guess, at this point.
Oh, my goodness. And actually, that particular, I don't know if you've watched any of the other videos or the television documentary about me, but that particular exercise that I was doing is called radial symmetry. Because if you imagine an umbrella, each section is identical and it's like a pizza. And so repeated around in a circle, each section identical, you're creating patterns that burst out of this design in that you can't really understand until you put it all together. And that tool is a tool used by art therapists to rehab people who have had brain injuries, to heal them. And here I was designing an umbrella, but God was healing me.
Wow.
And what an incredible father we have that he would do that. And now, I mean, maybe that takes us to your next question. Why don't you ask it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, you know, so there you are trying to recover and that sort of thing. So did you go back to corporate life or how did that start to change things for you? Because now you're sitting on this big gift of art and totally unbeknownst to you, but seeing this thing emerge.
Yes. At this point I had to leave my job in the corporate world. I had gone on short-term disability, which turned into my body was just one surgery turned into four that year. And then a spinal fusion, which at that point caused me to have to leave my company and make a choice a year and a half later. And so I was completely disabled. You know, as if 22 orthopedic surgeries weren't enough, and metal in six places, then there's this overdose. And like, OMG, but at the time I was just disabled. You know, I was looking at the past And wow. I wasn't even really aware of the present so much. And I had this, my memory was altered. So I didn't have this ability to focus on anything but really the moment. Mm. And so by God's grace, people said, were you scared? I'm like, well, I couldn't remember enough to be scared.
Mm, wow.
So I was just in that moment. And now I look back and I think, oh my word, like, oh my word, oh my stars, oh dear God, like that, like, wow. So I couldn't return. So there I was, drawing, totally shut down, couldn't go or do anything or move anywhere. I had had 4 shoulder surgeries. I couldn't even leave my house. So I was just still watching sunrises in the morning and just being still with a Bible on my lap that I couldn't read because I couldn't focus, but I had Timothy Bott's calligraphy illustrated word through Tyndale House Publishers, which is also my family. My brother-in-law's CEO of that company. And I had that Bible on my lap with the illustrations of God's word and the sun rising before me in my backyard. And that was when art really began to burst out of me. Wow. And so all of those sunrises patterned in my brain and God's word, and then it all came together. And now, I mean, then it grew to, okay, art, let's have an art event in my house.
How long did this go through where you're just sitting there trying to recover? I mean, was that a year, 2 years?
Good question. I think probably it was about a year, or maybe 6 months.
Wow.
And then people began to hear and see, and there was a front page news story. I have it here next to me. And it says, after brain injury, woman finds talent for art. And this is known as something. It's a phenomenon that happens with brain injuries in rare circumstances. It's called savant syndrome.
Wow.
And so I am a savant, and I have actually abilities in 6 or 7 areas I never had before.
Wow.
Spatial relationships and just a number of things that I can do, mathematics that I couldn't do before, that were just super hard for me. And now I will tell you, when I was being tested by neuropsychologists about what my brain could do, they began to want to then test me to see if I could actually bend metal with my mind.
Wow.
And I said, listen, I don't need to know if I can bend metal.
I don't want to know. Right?
If you're going to do that, then you're going to pay me, because my insurance is paying for this. So I was commuting back and forth 1.5 hours each way to Westchester County and the likes of, you know, like, I don't need to know that. Like, I'm going to go paint.
Well, hey, there's Matt. And, you know, one of the things that I found over the years in working with artists is that real lasting change in our life happens best in the context of supportive Christian community. And that's why I wanted to take this opportunity just to take a second and invite you to be a part of my online community called the Thriving Christian Artists Facebook group. Listen, this group is absolutely free, and over the years has actually grown to thousands and thousands of artists in just about every creative medium from countries all over the world. You know, the cool thing is that it's become a real place of encouragement and life for artists, just like you and me, who want to share their work, share their life, connect with other artists, and really pursue everything God has for us as artists in His kingdom. Now listen, to join, all you have to do is just click the link in the show notes here and answer a couple of questions just to let us know that you're a real person, and bam, you're in, okay? So listen, I can't wait to connect with you inside of my Thriving Christian Artists Facebook group. Do it now, and we'll see you there very soon. All right, bye.
So when did you start to realize then, you think, okay, God, maybe this is a change of direction. Maybe you want to start using this in my life, not only to connect me to you, but also to really, you know, release your kingdom in the lives of other people as well.
Well, I began to do art in my house. And so the news story prompted some things.
Right.
And I began to have art events in my house. And then that was, you know, exciting. But then art began to take over my house. Like, it was everywhere. I didn't have a dining room table. And like, we had moved my studio from four different rooms, and then it suddenly was in four different rooms. It wasn't moved to four different rooms. It was like, we were losing our house to art. And then we were doing art in restaurants, and then I needed a studio, and then that studio wasn't big enough. I took two studios, and they were side by side and beautiful, but in an epic, beautiful art building, but a third floor walk up. And I was handicapped, you know, with mental. And but people were coming and coming and coming all that time for art events. And hearing the story is so inspiring to so many people, because I'm not the same person I was. I mean, I am in some ways, but my passions are different. Even my taste in food sometimes, my sense of humor. But everyone universally is touched by the fact that, how could I have survived this, number one, and come out on the other side with more than I started with?
Right.
I mean, in some ways I have more. In other ways, it's kind of hard to be this different person, because people knew me so many years as the other person,
right,
that
right.
A lot of people kind of hold the good of my past against the good of my present, because they can't leave the one thing and embrace the new thing without thinking there's still something terribly wrong.
Wow.
And for that's you, hard.
You're just kind of embracing the fact that this is not wrong. It's just my new
it
reality.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, let's go, you know? Yeah. And a lot of people are like, what's, you know, why do people have a problem with that? I'm like, well, they do. And like my family has a real trouble with it. My kids and even my husband, because they just don't get that this is, you know, that was in their mind. Well, who is this person? Like, what happened to that corporate person, or that person who was going through so many surgeries? How can she be so fierce and focused in a new way, taking on new challenges and also new financial commitments based on how I feel God has led me.
Sure.
So, but
I
let
think
me.
That's a challenge for all of us, right? I mean, as we
can
evolve and grow into who God's called us to be, sometimes the ways that people see us obviously change, and they have to make a decision at that point, right? Am I going to continue to change with this person, or what does that mean for the relationship?
So. Exactly, Matt. And along the journey, you know, I had always known about you, and I had read a couple of your books back 3 or 4 years ago. Mm. And then your Facebook presence became so big, and I began following you there. But just realizing that here you were, like the Pied Piper of all artists in creative, in the Christian realm. And here I was one of them and part of this tribe, and that you were sort of teaching us how to do this and how to thrive. And I knew that it was a good thing that I follow you. And then before I know it, here we are talking. And,
absolutely.
And I'm coming to your gathering of artisans. In the
I know. I'm so excited.
I'm excited. Yeah. So.
Well, the thing I love, you know, just about your story is that, you know, so many times I hear stories all the time of people with, you know, injuries, physical injuries, emotional things, trauma that happens in their life, and it absolutely shuts them down, locks them down, paralyzes them. And I love the fact that you've been able to lean into this process in a way that allows the Lord to redeem this in you. Because I think a lot of times people's position is, well, God, if you want to redeem this, then you do it. But I know that the kingdom works when we lean into that process with the Lord. And talk a little bit about that, because I know it's not all you, and I know it's, you know, I'm asking, where do you think the line is between you trying to push and redevelop yourself in this area, and as opposed to, this is just a complete sovereign supernatural thing that God did? And is there a middle ground? How has that worked out for you? What is your interpretation of this whole experience?
Back 4 years ago, when this all began to happen, I was journaling, and I was writing down a lot of what I sensed God was telling me. And it's all happened. Like I forgot that I even wrote those things down. I went back to those journals recently and I could see I wrote down things in there that have come to pass in every way God spoke then. Even as I say this, I get a touch on the back of my head, right down my shoulders and my spine. So I knew that this was real, that this is something God was doing.
Right.
And that I was just opening through that, walking through that next door that opened up. And so it was kind of easy to do that. I didn't know what the doors were, but I just knew that if this opened and that connected to that, that I needed to go through that door as well. And so really that's what I've just done. I haven't planned any of it. So to answer your question, I think it became a gentle transition from just opening those doors to being very focused, realizing that this was a calling. It's reaching around the world. There are people coming from all over the world just to meet me. Mm-hmm. There's one flying in from Texas on Monday. Her name is Beth. She's followed me on Facebook. She's flying from Texas just to come here and meet me and stay with me.
Wow.
And we're opening a brand new studio. I mean, I'm sitting in it right now. We just started paying rent, and the first event happens to be that week, and happens to be my birthday next Friday. So she's going to come in and stay with me. And I know, what a birthday present. It just happened to be, it was a Friday night. It was a good day, and it happened to be my birthday too. It's kind of a hard question to answer very specifically, because it wasn't a point in time where I decided, okay, now it's time to go. It's just that the fever of the pitch became stronger and stronger, and in a good way, also in some really hard ways. I mean, the attack was fierce on my situation, beyond fierce. But now it's settling down to, because I was in a building where there are a whole lot of artists and a lot of drama in the building to start with, and the management of the building and managing all those personalities. And I was on a floor with other people. And then my traffic was starting to be, this was a quiet painting building, and suddenly I was having events and up there in that third floor. And so it needed to go to another location. But the things that led me from that building here were hard. But now I'm here. It's like, it's nobody but me. And God has reminded me that it was never about anyone else. This is about what he was doing in my life. Mm-hmm. And that I didn't need, he's Jehovah Rapha, that I didn't need anybody but him. All along the way, I thought I needed other artists to help pay the rent of the studio. And maybe at first I did, and I'd love to have another one in here now that's non-competing, that comes and goes at will. But if God provides, he provides.
I just always tell people, I think every artist that I've ever known who's really thriving and experienced, I see this in the mentoring program all the time. It's you look back on the journey 2, 3, 10 years later, whatever, and nobody has ever said, yeah, I had this great master plan and I worked it really hard and it all came to pass. It's like, no, all based out of intimacy with Jesus. And I call it following the favor. As God begins to open the doors and he begins to give the grace to walk through them, you do it. And before long, you're like, I have no idea where I'm going.
Yes, exactly.
Things are working out and I'm going to keep doing it. And as you do, all of a sudden the kingdom starts showing up in your life, and it's incredible. And there's no way that you could have ever planned it.
Oh yeah. I don't know where the dividing line was of following the call to becoming fierce and focused. And yeah, we're doing this. So somewhere along the way, the disabled girl, kind of went away, and the fierce focused corporate person kind of came back, and those two worlds joined. And then, really what my strength is in a huge way is taking what I do and working with corporate groups for team building through art. A group will come in and doing a very creative process, and where you, maybe they're all doing a part of a sunflower, and it's wildly mixed media with buttons and bling and glitter and everything else. And I've sketched gently onto each canvas just an outline of something that they would stay in the lines of, but that they don't realize that in the end, when they put all their pieces together, it makes one giant sunflower. Wow. And that each piece expresses the strengths of that particular person. And then where they join in the middle is the center of the sunflower. And that is all different because they've done different things with the middle. And I, when Yale came at one point, Yale executives and the trainers, they were all trainers that trained executives. And at the end, they didn't know that I was going to say, okay, who's got number one? Who's got number two? Who's got number three? They flipped their canvases over and I said, lay it here, lay it there. They laid it on the table on the floor and suddenly they were standing in a circle around this mighty giant sunflower of all they're making.
Wow.
And they became very silent. And at the end of the night, the person who had set this up left. I mean, they all left, and then they were meeting at a restaurant, and she said to me, Marianne, these people are at the top of their game. They train the executives at Yale. Nobody could talk. Wow. We're trainers. We've never been schooled like this.
Wow.
And we'd like to pay you twice as much.
Wow.
And so I was like, yeah, that's okay with me. I'll take that.
That's right.
But that kind of said it all. Because, you know, I mean, I can turn, it's always about the Lord, but I have to sort of angle it differently for different groups.
Yeah, sure.
And that particular group, I certainly tell the story linked to my faith, but I don't press it super hard. It's not appropriate in that setting. But man, they get it and they're moved by it because it could only be God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Marianne, your life is just, I think, the epitome of that verse. You know, God uses all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And thank you so much for sharing your story today. I know that folks are going to want to get in touch with you. So what's the best way to connect with you on your website, on social media, that sort of thing?
Yeah. And I'll just add one verse: to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you would ask or imagine, according to his glorious power at work within you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations.
That's good.
Amen. And so that's immeasurably more. He's an immeasurably more God. And they can contact me through, super big on Facebook. Be Still Studios is the name of the studio. There's Instagram, Be Still Studios. There's also several Facebook pages linked to Be Still Studios and my personal name, Marianne Rogers Schmidt, Marianne R. Schmidt. But Be Still Studios, be still and know that I'm God. And he leads us beside still waters. And peace be still, and the wind and the water obey. And the website, we have a website, but it's now being revamped because one of the things that happened is an Emmy Award winning television director God brought right into the studio. And he grabbed hold of this story and he has a marketing company. And he's winning two more Emmys this weekend. He's at the Emmys. And he's now my marketing guy.
Come on.
And so he's rebuilding the website. He's like, no, this won't work at all. This Wix platform, no. We're going to use WordPress, and I'm going to do it my way. So I'm like, okay, whatever you say, Frank Boris. So, that's how they can reach me, through the website. But that's under construction now. We've had it, but he's redoing it at the moment. So
we'll have all those links here in the show notes. Yeah. And so as you're listening to the podcast, you can click right on there and get in touch with Marianne and all those different places. So, hey, thanks so much again, Marianne, for being on and for sharing your story. Just continued blessings in everything that you're doing.
Oh, and God bless you. And I can't wait to see you face to face. And as you say in the South, hug your neck. We don't say that up here in the Northeast, but I'm going to hug your neck, Matt.
Well, we'll even say bless your heart, too, in a good way.
Okay, that too. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.